The Black Scholars Podcast.
BlackScholarsPublishing.com.
That we should get our own. Once we have our own, we're respected for the fact that we can create our own. And that's equality right there.
Start a record label, Miss Fish just did it. Whoa. Nylon, couple 5 minutes. Whoa, we are too hot in the business. Whoa. About to make a movie independent.
Yo, I love that introduction. And we've had that introduction since the show first started, 2018. And the reason why I love it is because I really feel like we are really all icons living. And it's so easy to get lost in everything that's going on in society, with the economy, with companies and these layoffs and, you know, all the different things going on in school. It's like we transitioned from, you know, the COVID times and the COVID years to whatever's going on right now in education. And, you know, educators demanding more, wanting more, educators losing that apprehension and being willing to go after more, because honestly, you deserve it. And you don't need a politician to tell you you deserve to be paid more. And you don't need to listen to scrutiny or ridicule from friends in different industries or from your parents or even your grandparents about, you know, you were so smart, you could have been a doctor, you could have been a lawyer, you could have been, you know, this or that. So I think it's imperative that educators continue to strive for more in their own lives. You deserve a high quality of life. I took some time to release this episode because, man, besides just being busy, I knew that this particular episode with the lovely Jalen Jenkins of Denver, Colorado area, this is her third time on the show, and she's fire. She's dope. I love it every time she's on the show. I love her as a human being. She's a really good human. And that's just from the multiple conversations I've had with her and different interactions on social media. But she's a really, really dope person. And so when she, you know, let me know that, hey, I transitioned out of the classroom, but I'm still, you know, somewhat working in education, I said, that's dope. And I need you on the show. I need you to communicate with this tribe of educators and let them know that, hey, you don't have to transition over into tech, you know, or you don't have to transition over into business or finance or fintech or healthcare. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. And I think that's imperative as well, too, that we come to a realization that it's not always about what's trendy and what's quote unquote popping. Like, you should go after what you're genuinely interested in and what you're genuinely passionate about. And there's nothing wrong with that. And never let anyone tell you that there's something wrong with that. But this episode was powerful. I know you guys are going to love it. You're going to enjoy it. The questions I asked her were deeper, and from a different angle. I've never asked anyone these type of questions because she dealt with and is still dealing with the same thing I dealt with, which many of you will deal with or some of you have dealt with, and that's grieving. As educators, we love kids, and we loved that classroom, and we loved that school building, and we loved our district, and we loved the community that we supported through our gifts and talents. We enhanced the lives of others through our gifts and talents. And there's a grieving process when you leave the classroom that needed to be discussed and detailed. And with Jalen, we had that conversation. So I'm grateful to her for allowing me to go deeper in my questioning as a podcaster, and that we can connect as lifelong educators, because Jalen's not done with education. I personally am not done with education, and never will be, no matter how far my tech career goes. I will always be a part of this tribe, and I will always be a part of enhancing the lives of others through the power of education. And there's so many different ways that that's possible, and I'm glad that you guys are on this journey with us as we continue to explore the many other doors that are possible for classroom teachers, for principals, for former principals, for instructional coordinators, right? For SPED teachers, for music and art teachers, for parapros, for teaching assistants. All of these things, for librarians, all of these things are possible because we're able to tap into our identity that God gave us and push ourselves outside of our comfort zone. And to me, that's what life is really about. When you're stagnant, that's as close to death as you're possibly ever going to get besides actual death. So let's live. Thank you guys for supporting the show, for supporting the merchandise, blackscholarsclothing.com. Please use promo code SCHOLARS, plural. SCHOLARS will give you a nice, significant discount. Thank you for supporting the show. Please contact me on Instagram at the Black Scholars Podcast for any ideas, any problems you're dealing with in the classroom, in your career, even if you're thinking about transitioning out of the classroom. Let us know what you got going on. And if there's something we can do to support you, we're here. Just a little context for the listeners. She was with us episode 22 for the self-care part one episode of season one. If you didn't listen to that, go listen to it. It's evergreen content because there's always a need, especially in our community, for self-care. So definitely, there's always a need for self-care. And she was with us September 2021, episode 42. We talked about the pandemic and education. So she is back. And it's Jalene Jenkins. I am saying your first name correct, right? It's Jalene, right?
Jalen.
Why am I saying Jalene?
Jalen. Like Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Yeah, you're good.
I got you. So let's get into it. So let's talk about your transition. And so I'm just going to address the elephant in the room. Every time you come on the show, ma'am, you have a new job. You have a new role, a new title, a new salary. Every single time. So again, context. So Episode 22, Jalen was a high school teacher, one of the best, was it chemistry?
Yep, it was chemistry then.
One of the best chemistry teachers I've ever seen. And if you're wondering how I know what she teaches like, even though I'm all the way in Tennessee, she's all the way in Colorado. You are still in Colorado, right?
Yep, I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's still in Colorado. It's because she would record some of her lessons and some of the projects that her students were working on in, you know, real recognized real. So like really highly effective educators. It doesn't take long for, you know, you don't have to be in someone's classroom long to know like they're one of those ones. You can see there's an it factor that top educators have, and it takes other top educators to recognize it. So I've seen it very, very early. And ever since then, we have been friends, and I've been rocking with her. And she's been so supportive of the show. So thank you for coming back. So
yes,
started
you.
As a high school teacher. Then the next time she came back on the podcast, she was an instructional coach. She was supporting other teachers, and she was doing that during COVID. Now, I don't even know your title. What is your official title? Because now you're working for a nonprofit. You're no longer working for a school district.
Yes. So it's kind of complex. I call myself a double agent because we have different facets within the organization. And I work with the residency department. So I coach new and aspiring teachers, particularly in Colorado. And then I also am on the professional learning department where we go around the country and coach and support educators around the nation. So double agent.
fire. I love it. And man, so many questions to ask you. Of course, as many of you know, I have transitioned out of the not only classroom, but education as a whole. I'm still around it. Just as Jalen is still around it, but we no longer work for school districts. And I think that's very, very dope. For a second, I was kind of focusing in on bringing different professionals, specifically like different tech professionals to the podcast. And I really, you know, those episodes came out great, but I really wanted to tap into people who have, you know, been in the same shoes as we have, people who have been observed and had to put together lesson plans on a Sunday night at 10 o'clock at night and had to analyze data and for their entire department and had to lead department meetings and come up with PDs and like all and coached other teachers. Like, so I had to bring it back to the essence and also help people, you know, kind of see a vision for themselves, because not everyone is going to decide to go the administrator route, which actually brings me to my question. Last time we spoke, you informed us that you actually have your administrator's license, but you just never went for the job. So what happened between last time we spoke, which again was September 2021, to now? What problem arose, like what happened?
I mean, I will say there's several things that came together to just inform my decision. The first thing I will say is I just value my peace a lot more than a paycheck. And I think people, yes, having a nice paycheck is so important, but I don't personally value working 365 days a year and then 22 out of those 24 hours. And so once I really got to see the heat of what it takes to be an administrator, and I have massive respect for them, I had to take a step back and really reevaluate. Like, yes, I am organized. I do advocate. I am a natural leader and all these different components, but there's other ways that exists for me to thrive and also sustain myself. So that was the main thing. It's funny because I actually am in the process of re-certifying myself with my principal license, like renewing my license. So it's just full circle. But in terms of the event, like the catalytic event, I would say I'm actually sitting in the area where I ran into a student. I want to say it was probably in 2021, where I went to like Jamba Juice, got a smoothie. And a kid I'd never met said, "Hey, did you teach at Central?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I did." Mm-hmm. And he just was very transparent. Like, "Miss, I feel like school doesn't prepare you. Like, I just feel like we are all just pretending and I'm not prepared." And I sat in that parking lot after I saw him and I bawled for like 20 minutes. And I was like, "We are failing these kids," which we all subtly know. But when you hear a child leave the school system and be able to reflect and identify those pain points, that breaks you down. And that is when I said, you know what, I got to go do something for these teachers so that they're sustained. But then also then that trickles down to the students, so we can't perpetuate this problem. So that was the moment.
Wow. So how long have you been gone?
I am entering my 14th month out of the traditional classroom. So a little over a year.
Are you going back?
You know, I love teaching science. I swear, the way science just makes me so happy. I have entertained teaching a section of chemistry or a section of bio. If I can make a deal that sustains everybody, then I may entertain it. But my bread and butter right now is advocating for Black and Brown teachers, so that way the Black and Brown students can feel the support and the belonging within the classroom as well.
So let me ask you this. What year did you first start teaching?
2015. Yeah, 2015.
And did you study, and we probably covered this already, I can't remember, but did you study teacher education undergrad or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. So I was elementary education with a focus in STEM. And then I got middle school as well. So
fire. And so if I can take you back to that time when you were an undergrad.
Yes.
What was your vision as an educator? What was your vision
as an educator? I actually started, this is ironic, I started college as an architect because I always wanted to build a school where kids got to experience luxury in a school, because schools, especially in Colorado, just are not it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so then I realized I wanted to be a teacher because the whole goal was to impact and support students. So I started as a secondary math teacher. Then I realized testing is so heavily stressful on everyone, and I wanted to cultivate joy. So I went the science route. And my vision as an educator was just to cultivate that joy and belonging in the classroom, because I was also the student who hated science or the way that science was taught. I was always curious. I was asking lots of questions and wondering and learning, but the traditional process of gaining, insight around science really killed me, because it was just rote memorization, no experience. And that was kind of it. So my goal was to transition that teaching method into something more innovative, more inclusive, more engaging. So.
And based on what I've seen, and of course you would know this better than I would, do you feel like you have fulfilled that vision? Because I feel like you did.
I completely feel like I fulfilled that vision. And I don't feel like I'm done. I actually just led a session yesterday with Black and Brown educators. I did a brain break that was scientific, and somebody immediately went to go show their students, and the kids loved it. So it just continues to give me joy to see the things that I would do in my classroom continue to make it to other classrooms. But I do feel like there's still room for me to keep impacting kids directly.
I love that. And I think it's so important that other educators hear that, even when you get to the point where you're ready to do something different, and that could be for a multitude of reasons, your self-care, your self-worth, your self-value, more money, more flexibility, more time. To me, freedom now is the ultimate flex. I don't care about your watch or your car, or I don't care about any of those things. How free are you? And I think that's something that eventually we'll all get to. But what I love about your journey is that you still know that there's something left, and you're still entertaining how you can do that. And that's beautiful. So Let me ask you this. So you told me your vision when you were a prospective educator. And I feel like you fulfilled that vision, even though there's more left. What is your vision now that you are working for a nonprofit, you're outside of the school district, even though you're very much still aligned with your purpose in education.
Yeah. My vision now, I had to do a lot of internal work. I was going, a couple years ago, I was going to dive into like PhD research and things like that. And then it very much so became, I want to just help cultivate that community, that belonging and that joy. And whether it's with teachers or with students, I think that's critical, because when we, you know, aspire to be whole adults and all these things, a lot of people think of money and traveling and all those things. And those are great things. But when you abandon the sense of joy, life gets real bland, real gray. And people often then experience these like midlife crises because they're like, well, what is my purpose? Am I just going to do this for the rest of my life? And I, you know, if that's your journey, that's your journey. But I really want people to experience the fullness of life. And since we spend 12 years in school, we might as well enjoy that. That's a long time to be sitting in a room with different teachers and different humans. And, you know, it should be joyful. And so, you know, specifically around STEM, because of marginalized communities, I think that's a great way to tie in every aspect of the world and invoke curiosity and abandon the traditional way of thinking.
I love that. So you touched on a few points. You said joy several times. Also, I mean, nothing wrong with money and traveling, but that joy, that sense of peace, I think a lot of people are missing. And I think probably because of COVID, I feel like that's something that a lot of us are dealing with, right? Especially those of us who are doing like socially responsible work and doing work that has a real impact. And we realize just how draining it could be. You have to find a way to pour back into yourself. You have to find a way to replenish, you know, that sense of peace, that joy. Besides joy, because I know that's an important value for you, is there anything else that is motivating you to work towards that new vision that you have?
Really, just like the BIPOC teachers that are in my community and around the nation is something that truly drives me. My exit from the classroom and leadership was unfortunate, and I truly grieved the entire school year until like February. And it was partially because I wanted to see some of my first kids when I moved back to Colorado graduate, and I felt like I was disappointing them in all these things. But, you know, I had to just really reckon with, okay, what would I have needed before I exited the classroom? And how can I cultivate that in the current educators so that they can be sustained long term? And they can also feel like they don't have to code switch and assimilate to these unproductive systems, so that they don't feel the same grief that I do if they choose to exit.
Let's tap into that a bit. You mentioned a very powerful word, grief.
Yes.
Could you describe that process of emotions that you went through when you knew you were leaving and then you finally left?
Yes. So it's kind of a long story, but to keep it in short, the year before I actually left, I knew I needed to leave, but I didn't know what I could do because I didn't want to go the admin route. I didn't want to go work at the district office. I still wanted to be able to pour into students one way or another, whether it was directly or indirectly, but I just didn't have that visibility of what it could be. And so I looked to apply and move across the country. I was going to move to Baltimore, quite frankly, on faith. Like, I just had no idea, like, never been there. I was like, let me just go. I just want to see people that look like me. I want to be able to do some work that they had the position open for. And then just the timing didn't work out because by the time interviews started, school had already started. So it was just a harsh, like, transition, and I didn't want to put the school in a, you know, an unfortunate place. And so because the timing was off, that triggered immediate grief because I couldn't help but think what could be, what could have been, et cetera. But then I had to practice what I preach and have some kindness with myself and know that number one, all things work together for my good. But number two, you know, like, I just need to close out the year full circle, let it be what it is, be super intentional on how I exit, and transition smoothly, like nothing haphazardly. And in that process, even though I gave myself the grace, I still was angry with myself because I didn't feel like the transition was soon enough, because I was, number one, so stressed out, to be honest. And the grief of seeing so many students lost that year just kept breaking my heart. So from gun violence to suicide to overdose to just a whole bunch of things, it just kept ripping my heart apart. And I just could not take it. And so the grief of me not separating a little bit compounded because I was still in the midst of the stress. And so I know I got like 20 gray hairs that year. I know I did. But, but, and I could count them too. I could tell you which one came from where. But it just, it was hard. And I learned to continue to practice daily grace of like, yes, I'm feeling this way. I am entitled to feel this way, notating like what the core or the root of it is, and then being proactive to honor my feelings, but also continue moving forward. Because I didn't want to be so caught in the grief that I couldn't enjoy the moments with my last group of students that I taught biology to, and really just soak up every moment with them. And once that clicked for me, the joy with my class at 7:30 in the morning, kids were showing up in the snow to, you know, dissect frogs and do things like that, because I think something really, really clicked for me to say, let's soak this all up, because once it's gone, you're going to miss it. And so it was a nice transition, and I felt a greater sense of peace once the year concluded and I really could do what I wanted, because I felt like I did it the right way, even though it was painful.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Daily grace. Yeah. Because you caught it before I was about to catch it, because that's exactly what I was about to go to. Like, you have to forgive yourself. You have to give yourself grace. I went through it as well. I never called it grief, but essentially when you do something at a high level for so long and you make genuine connections, genuine friendships, genuine bonds, when you see a kid going through so much different stuff outside of the classroom, mm-hmm. but because that relationship you have with them and that respect you have for each other, they still go hard in your class. Maybe not all classes, but they go hard in your class. Yeah. Like that's a direct deposit in itself, right? And I think of that, that's like, okay, that's not going into my bank account, but that's going to like this karma, this bank of karma, my soul, my spirit, and the relationship between educators and students needs to be researched thoroughly more, because I think it's a really undervalued asset of humanity. Like, honestly, we're trying to convince other people's kids why our specific subject is interesting and why they should learn it, and we're trying to motivate them, and we want them to see like there's a realistic application, whether they become scientists or not, doesn't matter, whether they become a chemist or not, doesn't matter, whether they become a writer in one of my classes as they go grow older, doesn't matter. It's, we're giving you a skill set, actually we're giving multiple skill sets. Even just the thinking alone will make you successful. You know, and I know success is very subjective, but I used to even have those conversations with my students, like, I want you all to be successful and I'm setting you up for success. Yep. And success means something different to every person, which leads me to my next question. So with you being outside of the classroom, but still supporting teachers, working for a nonprofit in this new role, new career, what does success look like for you? And this doesn't have to be within, you know, by the end of this year or next year. You've already been doing it for 14 months. What does success look for you as far as this being a new career pivot for you?
Yes. And I feel like I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I know people know. Those who know, know. But my real definition of success is twofold. One is personally, I have a greater sense of peace and continued pursuit of purpose. And that purpose and success are aligned professionally around supporting BIPOC educators and BIPOC students, particularly around STEM. We know the lack of representation. We know the backdated resources and honestly approaches. And so continuing to spark interest and engagement and innovative practices within the other brilliant educators around me is my true definition of success. And I got to experience it yesterday when I got the email saying, hey, I tried this with my kids and they were saying, my amoeba's getting too big. We need cytokinesis. And it's probably like kindergartners that were saying it. And they're, you know, using like high school lingo from biology, you know? So it was just so cute. And it really like almost made me cry. Like I'm sitting there facilitating another session, like tears in my eyes, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. And that really is my definition of success right now.
I love it. So, man, you're using a lot of powerful words, peace, purpose. You're supporting, you know, BIPOC educators, students. Can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how we roll on the podcast. Just me and you, no one else. I'm just honest with you. I don't know the ins and outs of your current role, but have you had this thought or started to ponder that there's probably more than likely high probability that you have an even larger purpose that is connected to what we're discussing right now? And so what I'm wondering, if you're wondering what that actually is, you maybe don't know what it is explicitly, but do you internally, do you start to feel that like there's a bigger purpose, there's a bigger calling for your skill sets and passions and interests and all the talents that you have?
Yes. And again, it's kind of twofold, because I feel the calling and I feel the things that I'm doing and I see the impact. And every time I get an email or a text or just a sticky note of gratitude, it affirms that I'm moving in the right direction. And I still feel the pull of like researching and implementing strategies and quantifying data to then help shift the systems that we work within to affirm the group that I want to support the most. And so part of my purpose that I think is evolving, that I'm kind of tussling with right now, is like exploring research and pursuing a doctorate. Just to
doctorate of education? Quantify.
Yeah. Yep.
I have to interject just to clarify, because you know, you have a STEM background. Yes. So you have options.
I do.
So
that's why. Okay. I do. Okay. I do. And like I have a tech business and other things like that too. But the one thing that I've always just like continued to tussle with, especially with my recent work with the BEST conference, and it means BIPOC Educational STEM Thinkers. And it's just a safe space for Black and Brown educators, leaders, and community members to cultivate joy and belonging and a sense of agency in their communities. That is something that I want to continue to explore, quantify, and like scale, honestly, because we have such a need. And in areas like Colorado, for example, there's a great deal of diversity, but it's not dense in certain areas. And so it's easier to experience the isolation and feel the lack thereof, because you just, you know, you're isolated, you need support, and you don't have that community as strong as somewhere in like Georgia, for example, might be.
Yeah. Yeah. I see great things in your future. You know, with a doctorate degree, you can do so much. Are you interested at teaching at the collegiate level?
I have entertained it. I don't think that's one of like, that's not my end goal. I think I would teach like a STEM class just to show how seamlessly and simplistically STEM can be embedded into classrooms. It would be like an educator course. That's the only thing right now that I could foresee, but I don't want to be like a professor full time at this moment.
Yeah, I don't see you being a professor full time, which is why I wanted to ask. But so your purpose in getting a doctorate is the research, correct?
The research, yes, because I'm already doing the action that I would be interested in exploring. So I want to quantify it and scale it to then measure the efficacy and then hopefully build a system for long-term support.
I see public policy in your future. I see educational, academic, even sociology as far as research is concerned in your future. I see yes. Data analytics in your future. Yes. I see, I don't know if I'm prophesizing to you right now, but I'm just being honest with you.
You honestly may be, because all of it.
I see you continuing in the nonprofit space. You briefly mentioned that, you know, you've got your own tech business going on. I see you combining that with what you're learning in the nonprofit space, and I can see you actually founding your own nonprofit that will allow you to perpetuate in a positive way everything that you spoke about today as far as supporting educators, supporting students, supporting that BIPOC community and population, and you still being able to fulfill your purpose and still exhibit and exude all of those values, that joy that you were searching for.
Yes, wow. Thank you.
Okay. That's amazing. That's amazing. No. Because I didn't, you know, when we put these things together, we don't know how it's going to turn out. But of course, you're a pro on the show. So I knew it would be great. So let's speak directly to those educators who are losing sleep. They're stressed as well. They know their purpose has something to do with helping other people, has something to do with servitude, but right now they're like somewhat lost. Like mm-hmm. what? So let's do two things. First, and I'll let you answer, mm-hmm. what is the biggest lesson you've learned from this journey you've been on, from undergrad, wanting to be an educator, to becoming an educator, to becoming better year after year after year after year, to the point you become an instructional coach, and to the point where you are now, where you're still impacting the effectiveness of educators and indirectly the academic success of students. What's one lesson, the huge lesson you'll take away from that journey?
Okay, I hope I can elaborate on this because it sounds so generic, but it's trust the process. And I say trust the process because life, the more you live it, the more you understand that it's not linear. And it's okay that everything doesn't happen in a linear fashion. Be kind to yourself, have grace with yourself, but check in and take care of yourself. It's not going to seem like it makes sense right now, but I promise I can speak to it. Everything will make sense. You know, hindsight is 20/20. So just trust the process and be kind to yourself in the process.
I love that. Trust the process. Give yourself grace, daily grace. I love that.
Yes.
All right, question two. And again, we're still speaking to those educators who are stressed, confused, pondering, wondering, thinking about their future, and need some assistance. What advice would you give them besides the trust the process? What, and it could be specific, like it could be as general as you want it to be, and mm-hmm. it could also be as specific as you want it to be as well, too, because some people actually need like really practical, applicable things that, you know, they need to do, you know, tomorrow, next week, this weekend.
Yes. And honestly, I was going to shift to the practical realm because some things that I tell people, regardless of the field, but specifically educators, I know I like a life of luxury. And to be honest, like I knew that salary was never going to do it for me. So mm-hmm. I had to commit to like buying property. So buying a house is your greatest sense of leverage to like building the life that you want beyond the classroom. And so having a property or two, if you can afford it, is the best way, in my opinion. You know, like, yes, you can do all the different things, but as long as you have something to your name that's building equity for you, is a nice thing to have in your back pocket.
For sure.
Saying no, I know that's hard. And I know people will think of all the kids and all the things, but you also have so much that you can give, and you can only pour from a cup that's also getting poured into as well. So if you're getting depleted, notate that, honor it, and then protect your peace. And one way that I did that was I calculated my hourly rate, my value that I was presenting. And when opportunities arose, if it wasn't in alignment with my current value and where I wanted to go, I had to say no, because I can't be a part of everything. Mm-hmm. And I knew where I was aiming to go, so I had to have those boundaries. So property, boundaries, say no, and seriously make time for joy. Like today, I actually just left the trampoline park because mm-hmm. I want to have fun. You know, I may mm-hmm. be the only adult in there jumping. I don't really care. I want to have fun. Life is too short to be focused on only goals. You should also prioritize your joy as well.
I love that. You're talking, again, back to trust in the process, meaning invest in yourself, believe in yourself, yes. buying a house, buying other properties, getting into real estate. That still means that you're trusting the process, you're trusting yourself, you're investing in yourself, you're investing in something literally that will boost your network. It's an mm-hmm. asset or assets that can make you more money.
Exactly.
Can I throw something in there just real quick about the process?
Of course.
Just if you already have a house, or if you're not in the market to buy a house, or you got to, you know, work on your credit or whatever the situation may be, there is also something called REITs, R-E-I-T-S, where if you want to get into real estate, but you're not ready at this very moment, but you would love to acquire some assets that will benefit you and your net worth and your money going forward. Look up REITs, R-E-I-T-S. Look up REITs, because that is literally stock, but it's based on actual property. So look that up.
Yes.
And then you mentioned having boundaries and being able to say no. I think that's all incredible advice. And I'm pretty sure every educator listening to this is like, yes, you are 3 for 3. You're always on point. You are always on point.
Thank you.
And yes, she will be back for 4. We're not done.
Yes, always. Whenever you want to have me, I will come.
For sure. Yeah, I threw it out there, and I'm throwing it out there right now. Educators,
it's coming.
Educators, because this is a lifelong thing. If you have transitioned, or if you know someone who's transitioned, please email me, theblackscholarspodcast@gmail.com, because we need you on the show. Any last words for the educators, Jenna?
Thank you. Prioritize peace and joy, and life will work out. I promise.
Fire. Thank you. This was beautiful.
Thank you.
What can I say? Mamba out.
Thank you for listening to the Black Scholars Podcast. For more information, sometimes go to blackscholarspublishing.com.
You just gotta
go.
You will never know what you could ever be. If you never try, you will never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave. So it was no slaves in our history. One no slave ship.